Good morning and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia, on this glorious Palm Sunday morning. We are so pleased that all of you were able to join us for the worship of God in this good place, and you are most welcome here today. Everyone present is invited to sign one of the pew registers when they are passed a bit later in this service, for this always helps us to know each other better. And if you happen to be a guest among us today, we want you to know how much we would look forward to meeting you and getting to know you better following the worship service today. Once again, welcome to all. Would you join me now in the call to worship? The Lord be with you.
Would you join me as we pray? God of all creation, we come to worship today remembering the anticipation of those who gathered in Jerusalem so many years ago. We too want to cheer and wave palms and welcome in Christ Jesus. But unlike those who first cheered, we also know what is coming in the week ahead. We know that as we may cheer, we may also be ones who shout, "Crucify." We pray that your presence would guide us and be with us as we remember the events of this week, that you would find our worship to be honorable to both you and to your Son. As we celebrate and reflect, may your light shine on us in the darkness, may your power enliven us in our weakness, and may your truth guide us through each and every day. We pray in the name of Christ, our Lord, to whom we shout Hosanna. Amen.
Thank you.
we are often quick to identify with the disciples who said, "Hosanna," we don't always want to think about being in the crowd who shouted, "Crucify." We too have turned our backs in fear, shouted in our ignorance, or chosen hatred over love. So let us confess now through the congregational confession. God of great mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you. You provide our daily bread, still we hunger for other things. You give your word to guide us, still we surrender to temptation. Forgive us, God of grace. Create a clean heart within us. Teach us your holy way, and restore to us the joy of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And hear these words of assurance. Jesus Christ, who came to save us from ourselves, said, "Forgive them, for they do not understand what they're doing." In Jesus Christ, we are loved, we are accepted, and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God, and let us respond together. Good morning, everybody. I think that most of you have figured out by now that the season that we have been in for 6 weeks now is almost over. Does anybody know the name of that season? What is it? Lent, yes. And you know that probably because a lot of you throughout Lent have been coloring some stations of the cross, which we're finally going to get to show everybody on Thursday. It's finally time. That's right. All of your hard work will be for everyone to see. And so the stations of the cross show us all the things that happened to Jesus this coming week, the week that we call Holy Week. And so they show Jesus praying in the garden, and Judas coming to the garden and showing the soldiers, that's who he is, that's Jesus. And then they show Peter, one of Jesus' best friends, pretending like he doesn't know Jesus at all. And they show the crowds shouting at Jesus when they're really angry. And they show the crown of thorns that they put on Jesus' head. Then they show him carrying the cross through the streets. And they show Simon, who comes and helps him when he can't carry it anymore. And then they show the people who cried for Jesus as he walked through the streets, and the people who hung next to him on the cross. And then they show Jesus talking to his mother and to one of his disciples and to the criminals who were next to him. And then finally, they show darkness that comes at the end. And they show Joseph taking Jesus' body and putting it in a tomb. And all of those things happen next week. That's right. And they all started, just like you all started this morning, with people taking palms and waving them and being so excited that Jesus was coming and so happy, and they couldn't wait to see what was going to happen. But none of them knew, like we do, about all those things that were about to take place that next week. So Palm Sunday, today, we have a celebration, and we kind of start way up here because we're really happy and we're really excited. And then as those events of the week come, we kind of get a little bit sadder. It's a little bit harder. Yeah. And then we get to next Sunday, and we kind of go all the way back up, probably even higher than we started. But we'll talk about that next week. So when people come on Maundy Thursday, they're going to see all of these things that you've drawn and shown about what's happening in the week to come. And what we want to think about today, there are lots of things to think about, but one of them is that Jesus, who came to show people how to love and how to be kind and how to care, how to be a good friend, how to make people feel better, all of those things, he still did that, knowing all of that that would happen in this next week, all of those things that made him sad and that were not good and were kind of dark. He still came and he still showed us all of those things. And so that's kind of one of the things we can think about this week, is how can we show Jesus what we learn from him? How can we be kind? And how can we show love? And how can we be a good friend or a good sister or a good daughter? How can we show people that we care about them? And those are kind of some of the things that we're going to think about this week until we get to next week when we have a really big celebration. Okay? Can you all pray with me? God, we thank you for being a God who loves us, who comes to show us what love looks like, and who loves all the people of the world. We pray that you help us to do the same thing and to remember the wonderful gift that you gave us in your Son. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading is from Psalm 118, first two verses and continuing at verse 19. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank thee that thou hast answered me and hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech thee, give us success. Blessed be he who enters the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is good, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I will extol thee. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Here ends the first reading.
Our second lesson this morning is the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Oh, Our gospel lesson on this Palm Sunday is taken from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, Matthew's account of the triumphal entry. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the written word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to the United States Geological Survey, we had an earthquake in Georgia last Wednesday night. But chances are, with all of the attention that was being focused on the violent weather systems that were taking place at the time, you never even noticed it. USGS records show that a magnitude 2.5 earthquake struck near Milledgeville in central Georgia at 9:38 p.m. But it was so weak that it probably would not have been felt by most human beings. While I was growing up in St. Louis, we used to feel mild earthquakes all the time. Now, to be honest, they were never as severe as those that are experienced on a regular basis by people living in California or Japan or other countries, often resulting in vast destruction and loss of life. But they were always enough to send us running to the house to our parents. And my grandfather, Finley, who had been born in 1880 near Paducah, Kentucky, and who lived with us at the time, would always say to us the very same thing. "Well, that was nothing like the New Madrid earthquake." My grandfather wasn't alive to experience that series of earthquakes, which struck the boot heel of Missouri in the winter of 1811 and 12, and which has often been called one of the worst earthquakes in American history. But as a young boy, he had known several older persons who had lived through that. It was strong enough to change the course of the Mississippi River and to form Real Foot Lake in Tennessee. So powerful that if it happened today, it would likely destroy all of the high-rise buildings in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Strong earthquakes can do that and literally can make the ground move under your feet. The experts tell us that because of tremendous internal forces at work in the earth, beneath the surface of things. The tectonic plates of the earth can slip on occasion, and as a result, there can be an unmistakable shaking of the foundations. Palm Sunday, you may know, is also known as Passion Sunday in the calendar of the Christian year. And that is so because it is the beginning of a week which is full of triumph and tragedy, ambiguity and irony. A week of opposing forces that also creates tensions and a collision of emotions. To be honest about it, life is a lot like that. Matthew, who gives us the passage we just read, is so helpful to us in putting together the events of that final week in the life of Jesus. First, the triumphal entry on what many churches call Palm Sunday. Then on Monday, the cleansing of the temple. On Tuesday, a series of teachings by Jesus in the temple. By Wednesday, he was in Bethany being anointed by an unknown woman with an alabaster jar of perfume. And immediately afterward, he was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. Thursday brought the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, and his arrest. On Friday, he was tried before Pilate, condemned, crucified, buried, and the world waited in darkness for the dawn of Easter morning. But as I say, Matthew reminds us that the week began with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The people went wild with their praise and their cheers and their palm branches, and yet their cheers would quickly become insults. The late Peter Gomes was the minister of the Memorial Church at Harvard University, and he once said that he was brought up in the "let's have a parade" theory of Palm Sunday, that discreet form of Protestantism that doesn't much care for the embarrassment and indignity of the cross. If we take the passion out of Palm Sunday, Gomes says, we run the risk of turning the occasion into a festive dress rehearsal for Easter. In his words, saving the suffering for the faithful few who will come to church on Maundy Thursday and on Good Friday. One of my favorite contemporary writers is Anne Lamott, who has a similar thing to say in her book entitled Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith. She writes, I don't have the right personality for Good Friday, for crucifixion. I'd like to skip ahead to the resurrection. In fact, I'd like to skip ahead to the resurrection vision of one of the kids in our Sunday school class who drew a picture of the Easter bunny outside of the tomb. Everlasting life and a basket full of chocolates. Now you're talking. It's easy for us to forget just how much of a change it was for Jesus to set his face to go to Jerusalem. Much of Jesus' ministry to this point had taken place in Galilee, his home region, which you know was filled with rolling hills and grazing flocks and quaint little fishing villages lining the Sea of Galilee. Frankly, it doesn't sound like a very good idea for Jesus to go to Jerusalem in the first place. And I think that the disciples may very well have tried to talk him out of it. Things can happen to you in a large city that wouldn't happen to you anywhere else. You know that. There is all of the congestion that you have to deal with, and you have to fight the traffic, and you can get jostled just walking down the sidewalk here on Broughton Street, people bumping into you. Homeless people will stop you and ask you for money for a sandwich out here in Chippewa Square. Lord only knows what will happen to you in a large city. And yet this is exactly what Jesus decides to do. And he comes to Jerusalem at one of the worst, most turbulent times possible. The place is filled to brimming with pilgrims who've come to the city for the feast of the Passover. Some scholars think that there may have been as many, get this, as 250,000 additional persons in Jerusalem that week. All of them gathered there, remember their story of deliverance from slavery down in Egypt, and many of them now are filled with a kind of patriotism and nationalistic fervor because they are thinking about their need for liberation now from their current oppressor, Rome. So Jesus comes into that seething cauldron of emotion, which was altogether dangerous to him in many ways. He arrived just as the prophet Zechariah had predicted, humble and lowly, riding on a donkey. All four of the gospel writers report that the people went wild. The enthusiasm of the people spilled out into the streets. They cheered. They spread clothing in his way. They tore leafy branches from the trees and threw them in his pathway. It was nothing less than a raucous kind of celebration. Jesus entered the city and it created a stir. Matthew's actual word for it is eisaisthe, or turmoil, a form of the root word from which we get our word seismic or earthquake. The whole city was shaken to its very foundations, as if by an earthquake, and wanted to know, who is this? Who is this man? All of Jerusalem, Matthew says, was affected by his presence. Matthew had said something similar to this earlier in his gospel account when the wise men had come seeking the king of the Jews. That particular disturbance of the city had initiated a plot on the life of Jesus while he was yet a child. Now he comes once more. And again, he is childlike. He is humble, riding on a donkey. And yet the excitement of the people is so high that they threw their clothing and their religious offerings out into the street in order to make his way easier. Now I wonder, when was the last time any of us did anything like that? When was the last time the presence of Jesus in our lives literally shook us up, let alone shift the ground under our feet so much that it registered on the Richter scale? When we get ready to throw something in the way of Jesus, is it something which recognizes his supremacy, his right to be the Lord of our lives? Do we as believers ever spread anything costly before him? All of that is what happened to the people of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Even if for some of them it was just for a single day. It's really only in the gospel according to Luke that we get this idea that Palm Sunday was somehow an event for the disciples and the disciples alone. Those closest to Jesus being the ones who were full of praise for this Messiah who was coming into the world. Here in Matthew, it is something quite different. We are told that all the city was stirred. Jesus comes like a seismic event to Jerusalem, and he shakes the ground under their feet. And so reading Matthew's account of the gospel, it is nearly impossible to get away from the notion that the same crowds who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday would later that same week change their praises into taunts and their cries of Hosanna into a call for Jesus' death. Perhaps they were just pilgrims who happened to be in Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Or as some interpreters have suggested, excited residents of the city who were just responding naturally to those reports of the raising of Lazarus. Whoever they were, in just a matter of a few days, these same people would be crying out, not Hosanna, but crucify him. Given the chance by Pilate to select a prisoner for release during the Feast of the Passover, this very same crowd would call for Barabbas, not Jesus. They would choose a murderer over the Prince of Peace. And in doing so, their palm branches would soon be turned into instruments of insult. Jesus came to a city which praised him, but we, of course, know what happened to him in that city, don't we? It would all play itself out ever so quickly in the space of those next few days. But let's not this morning pick on the city of Jerusalem. What city in the world today, what crowd of people in any place would respond much differently? What community of people is there today with its own set of values, its private centers of power, its established institutions that would not resist strongly this radical realignment of relationships and priorities and commitments which Jesus teaches and models in his own life? Whether we live in Jerusalem or in Savannah, all of us draw our water out of the same well. And because we do, we are able to pour out on Jesus a blessing as well as a curse. And we can do both just within a few hours. All of these colliding images, then, of this beginning to the week called holy, the humility of Jesus and the extravagant praise of people receiving their Messiah, a day of welcome, which would soon turn into a night of suffering, the courage and the obedience of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, on his journey to the cross. Is it any wonder, then, that Palm Sunday is also referred to as Passion Sunday? It is. And in that is a reminder that we human beings are capable of great good as well as great evil, faith as well as fear. At our very best, we manage to praise God for what we have seen and heard in Jesus Christ, God's Son. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. On this Palm Sunday, let us join that chorus and give voice to the glory of our God. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. We are grateful for the story of Palm Sunday lived out before our eyes today with our children waving their palm branches and singing their hosannas. We thank you for this reminder of our Lord's triumphal entry into the city that soon would turn on him and crucify him. So startle us once again, O God, with the power of your love shown in Jesus Christ. Shake the ground under our feet that we might be aware of his coming to us. And enable us by your Holy Spirit to sing with your children of all the ages, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. May we give you such praise this day to the glory of our Christ. Amen. As we do, that our God is always faithful and eager to hear us when we pray, let us join our hearts together now, first as we pray together silently, and then as we offer the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. Almighty God, with the Apostle Paul, we look at our lives and we sometimes do not understand our own actions. We are often silent when we should speak and useless when we could be useful. We are at times your lazy servants, timid and heartless, who turn neighbors away from your love. Have mercy upon us, O God, and though we do not deserve your care, forgive us and free us from our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Lord, as on this day we call to mind our Lord's decision to set his face towards Jerusalem and to go to the city that was to reject him, we ask you to give us such grace that we may welcome him, our Lord and King forevermore. And as he wept over the city of Jerusalem, break our hearts this morning for all those who suffer and mourn, for the poor and the lonely and the discouraged all around us. And especially this morning, we would pray for Barbara and for Margaret. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and generous God, you sent the Lord Jesus to enter our world and to save us from our sins. We thank you for those glad disciples who greeted him with praise and spread branches in his pathway. We are grateful that he comes again and again to enter our lives by faith, and that as his new disciples, we too may welcome him into our lives. Lord, in your mercy. O God, even as we begin this week we call holy, enable us to look once again at the cross of Jesus and to acknowledge who he is, even the King of love, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
As we reflect now on all that our God has given to us and continues to offer us each day, let us give in return and give generously so that all of creation can experience the goodness of the God of life and love. us pray. Faithful God, your Son, Jesus, reveals what it means to be a leader who trusts fully in you. Through his self-sacrifice, you bring healing and hope and peace to us all. During this week, help us to reflect your great love that you showed us in Christ. Let our words and actions point to your grace. Let our tithes and offerings bring wholeness and healing to others. And may we live our lives in ways that represent our Prince of Peace. We pray in your name. Amen.
The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended, just as it is every Sunday of the year from this pulpit. What better day than today to profess your own faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or to come expressing a desire to unite with his church, which meets in this place. As we sing the hymn, and as you respond, we would receive you this day with great joy. Each Sunday, it is our very real pleasure to welcome those who worship as guests, some for the very first time, others returning friends after many years. Today, we welcome new friends from the state of Wisconsin, also from Sefner, Florida, and Leawood, Kansas, as well as perhaps persons from our own city of Savannah. Welcome to all of you, and please give our people an opportunity to say a word to you in the name of Christ, following the service. They would like very much to do that. Quickly, by way of announcement, immediately following this worship service, there will be a congregational luncheon in Lewis Hall, just across the street. No reservations are required for the meal, and all are welcome to join us. Then, following the meal, we will have our annual
Easter egg hunt for the children in Orleans Square. Always a Kodak moment. One of the best things we do all year long. So do join us. Because it is Holy Week, there will be no activities here at the church on Wednesday evening, but we will meet together on Maundy Thursday for a fellowship meal beginning at 5 o'clock, followed by a service here in the sanctuary, which features a meditation, communion, the Stations of the Cross led by our children, and the cantata entitled In My Place, Remembering Christ's Sacrifice of Love, presented by members of our adult choir and narrators. This promises to be a very powerful and moving experience that we will share together on Thursday night, and we hope that you will all join us and invite friends and neighbors to join us as well. All of that will bring us to Easter Sunday with the flowering of the cross and the good news of the resurrection. So do join us for that day of celebration next Sunday. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction which this morning draws upon the words of the great John Claypool? Let us pray. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and as you go, remember, in the goodness of God, you were born into this world. By the grace of God, you have been kept all the day long, even until this hour. And in the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus, you are being redeemed. Amen.